Thank you, praise team. Thank you. Well, we are in our second purpose this morning. Pastor Eddie was here last week and talked about calling. And today we're going to continue our What on Earth Am I Here For series. I'd like to take a moment to thank Pastor Rick Warren for the work that he's done for the churches, how he's been generous, how God uses him, how he has been able to take this information and spread it worldwide to millions of people. So I am indebted to him this morning. So, to understand your life's purpose, to understand your life's calling, first, you have to begin with God, because God created you. You can't tell yourself what your purpose is. Only your creator can tell you what your purpose is. Your purpose, your calling in life, actually begins in the nature of God. The Bible tells us that God is love. Now, it doesn't say that God has love, or that God just shows love. God is love. Love is the nature, the character, the essence of God. And there would be no love in the universe if it weren't for the fact that God is love. The only reason you're able to love, the only reason you're able to give and receive love, is because God, who is love, made you in his image. Ants cannot love. Snails can't love. Cows can't love, as cute as they are. But human beings love, because we were made in the image of God. Now, the Bible says that everything in the universe was created so God could love it. God has never made anything that he doesn't love. He loves every rock. He loves every tree, every plant, every animal, every human being. God has never made anything he does not love. So if you're alive this morning, feel for a pulse, because I can't hear you breathing out there. Are you awake? If you're alive this morning, it means that God loves you, and you were created to be the object of God's love. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. I'm going to stop right there, because the word says before God even created the universe, he had already chosen you and had loved you. He made the universe so that he could make the earth, so he could make the human race, so that he could make you so he could love you. That's an outstanding thought. If God hadn't wanted to love you, all the other stuff wouldn't have happened. It goes on to say, before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been, and that's from the very beginning of time, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him this plan to have a family. God wanted to have a family, and he wanted you to be a part of it. And the reason the universe exists is because God wanted this family, and it was all made so we could be made, so that we could be loved. And then it says, this plan gave him great pleasure. If you're a note taker this morning, I want you to circle the words great pleasure that are found on the back of your worship folder. Now, that's all background. In this series, when we look at the five callings of God, the word calling, as Pastor Eddie explained last week, is used far more than the word purpose in the Bible. So when we look at God's calling on your life, We're talking about God's assignment. We're talking about his purpose. We're talking about God's reason for creating you. So the first reason that God created you, the first purpose of your life is to be loved by God. The reason you were created was to be loved by God. God made you to love you. Let that sink in. God made you to love you. The first purpose of your life is not to serve God. The first purpose of your life is not to trust God. The first purpose of your life is not even to obey God. The first purpose of your life is not even to love God. The first purpose of your life is to let God love you. I want you to get this. Because it's your first duty. It's not to learn something. It's not to listen. It's not to pray. It's not to give, not to sacrifice, not to serve. Those are all good things. Those are all necessary things. But they're not the first thing that God created for you to do. He created you to accept and receive his love. To just let God love you. That's your first purpose, family, to be loved by God. And this is taught all throughout Scripture. In the book of Jude, it says, this letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Now, Jude is that last little book right before Revelations. And if anybody could have been a name dropper, it could have been Jude because Jude was Jesus' brother. But that's not what he says here. He says, I am just a servant of Jesus, and I'm the brother of James, and I'm writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father. Circle called. What he called you to do, called to live in the love of God, the love of God the Father, and in the care of Jesus Christ. So, if the first purpose of my life is to be loved by God, my first calling is this, that I am called to enjoy a relationship with God. My purpose is to let God love me. My calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. I am called to live in the love of God in a relationship. What I'm saying to you is so fundamental this morning. It's the number one calling on your life. It's not just a role. It's not just a responsibility. It's not just a bunch of rules. It's not a regulation. It's not a ritual. It's not even a religion. It's a relationship. And I know that's going to surprise some of you because Christianity is not a religion. People try to make it a religion. They try to make it about rules and regulations and rituals, but it's really not about that. Jesus said that it's about a relationship. God sent Christ so that you could have a relationship, not a religion, but a relationship to him. Because God is love, and he wants you to experience his love. Now, what kind of relationship does God want you to have with him? Does he want you to be his slave? No. Does he want you to be his servant? Does he want you to be his soldier and fight the battles around you? Does he want you to be his warrior? Does he want you to be his worker? No. Maybe you're supposed to be his employee. I don't think so. What does God want? Does he want you to be his minion? No. God wants you to be his son or his daughter. He wants you in his family. Romans 1 says, dear friends in Rome, and this is Paul writing, God loves you dearly. Circle the word dearly. And he has called, there's that word again, here's the calling of God for you to be his very own people. So here are three fundamental truths of everything that we're going to be doing in this 40-day campaign. The first purpose is to be loved by God. That's my first purpose. My first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. And then the third thing, that relationship that God wants me to have to be his son and daughter, And that's the most amazing truth that you'll ever hear. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, doesn't want you to be his slave or servant. He wants you to be his son or daughter. He wants a family to love, and he wants you in it. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John 3. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. That's the amplified version, that we are named the children of God, we are called the children of God, we are counted the children of God because we are the children of God. This is the calling on your life. Your number one purpose is not to accomplish something. Your number one purpose in life is not to make yourself something, make something of yourself. Your number one purpose in life is not to make lots of money, to be famous, or even have lots of fun. Your number one purpose in life, God created you and called you to be loved by him, to experience that love. But the sad fact is that most people never truly know the love of God. They've heard about it. I'm sure everyone in this room would say, oh yes, God loves me. But I wonder, have you ever really experienced it for yourself? He says we're named and called and counted the children of God. Why in the world would God do that? In order to express his love. God's love is extravagant, and it's lavish, and it's beyond our comprehension. He loves you on your good days. He loves you on your bad days. He loves you when you feel it. He loves you when you don't feel it. He loves you when you think you deserve it. And he loves you when you know you don't deserve it. You can't make God stop loving you. God will never love you more than he does this second. And God will never love you any less than he loves you in this second. Because God's love is not based on who you are or what you do. It's based on who he is, and God is love. The Bible says in Ephesians 3, I pray. And as one of your pastors, this is my prayer for you during this 6 weeks and for always, that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust him. In other words, as you get more comfortable with Jesus in your life, may your roots go deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, which means your life needs to be rooted in the love of God. And you may have the power to understand, as all of God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love really is. And may you experience the love of Christ. Not just know it up here, experience it in your heart. Circle the word experience it. God says, I want you to feel loved. I don't want you to just know you're loved. I want you to feel it. I want you to feel it with every fiber of your life. May you experience emotionally the love of God, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. The Bible says that part of your calling is to understand how wide, how high, how deep God's love is for you, even though it's so vast, you'll never be able to wrap your mind around it. So let's talk about it. How wide is God's love? Well, it's wide enough to be everywhere. That's how wide it is. There's no place on this planet that God's love isn't. There's no place in the universe where God's love ends. It's in every bar where people are drunk. It's in the red light district where people are being sold and selling their bodies. It's in the boroughs. It's in the slums. It's in the ghettos. It's in the poorest of the poor places. There is no place on earth where God's love is not. Second, how long is it? How long is God's love? It's long enough to last forever. That makes it different than human love, you know? Because human love seems to wear out. That's why we have divorce. That's why we have breakups. That's why we have conflicts. That's why we have people estranged from one another and not reconciled, because human love wears out. God's love isn't like that. God's love never runs out. God will never, 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 never stop loving you. Even if you choose to reject him, God still loves you, because God's love is eternal. He made you to love you, and God loves you with an everlasting love. It's long enough to last forever. So how deep is God's love? Well, it's deep enough to handle anything. No matter what pain you're going through, what problem you're going through, what hurt you're going through, God's love is deeper still, family. You say, but Pastor Paula, you don't know. I'm in the pits. I've hit rock bottom. I'm in the pit of hell. I'm in the pit of despair. I can't get any lower than I am. And I would say to you that God's love goes deeper and lower than your problem. There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper. It's deeper than any problem you're ever going to have, and it's deep enough to handle anything. How about height? How high is God's love? Well, it's high enough to overlook my sins and yours, to overlook my faults, my mistakes, because Jesus Christ was able to overlook my faults, mistakes, failures, sin, rebellion, and God offers forgiveness through the cross because of his love. He offers a fresh chance to start over. Before anything existed, God had already thought of you and decided to choose you and to love you. And God has been waiting your entire life for this very moment where you get to sit still for just a minute and he can say this to you. You have no idea how much I love you. I've always loved you. There was never a moment of your existence that I didn't love you. I was the one who planned your birth. I allowed that fertilization. I allowed the conception. I wanted you alive so I could love you. I formed you in your mother's womb. I saw you take your first breath. I heard your first cry. There was no moment of your life where I've turned my back on you. I saw every pain you've ever gone through, every sin you've ever done, the celebrations and the sadness, the happy times and the sad, the grief, the pain, the exhilaration. I have been there every moment of your life. And whether you realize it or not, I was gazing on you in love because I made you to love you. Let's take a moment right now to acknowledge and respond to the deep, deep truth that God loves us truly, deeply, completely, warts and all. Pastor Lonnie, would you come and lead us in a time of prayerful response to God, the lover of our souls?
Earlier in the service, you heard the bells play a song that is hopefully familiar to some of you, but if not, you've at least heard it there. And we're going to use this song now as an opportunity to respond to the love of God. Matt's going to lead us by singing the first stanza, and then I'm going to invite you to join on stanzas 2 and 3.
deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Turns His face away as wound was mother chosen one. Bring many son to glory.
Behold the man upon the
shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was a dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Thank you, Matt. So here's the question. How would your life change? How would your life be different? How would it be transformed if you began to be aware of God's unconditional, continuous, never-ending love for you? How would your life change if you got up in the morning, the first thing you felt was, I am deeply and unconditionally loved by God? And as you got out of bed, you went to take your shower, you'd think, why, I can sense God's love in my life. And as you got to work or to school, you felt the love of God. And when you came home or went to a movie or watched TV or were working out in your backyard, you were sensing God's love. What would it be like if you felt God's love unconditionally in your life totally, and you were aware of it all the time? How would that change your life? I want to give you five ways. I want to give you five very practical ways that this concept, if you get that your first calling in life is not to do something. Your first calling in life is to receive God's love, just to let God love you, how that could transform your life. The first thing that I would suggest is that you would feel accepted rather than ashamed. And that would change your life. You know, most people go through their entire lives avoiding God, and the reason why they avoid God is because they're ashamed. They feel ashamed, they feel guilty, they feel under condemnation, they feel judged, they feel criticized. They think God is perfect and I am not, so why in the world would I want to hang out with a perfect God who's simply going to remind me of all the ways that I have failed? Let me turn your attention to Romans 5:1, which says, by faith we have been made acceptable by God, and now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live in peace with him. We have been made acceptable, circle acceptable, and because of that, God accepts me completely, totally, unconditionally. Because of his love, I live in peace with God. Now, let me tell you why that's important. It's important because it sets you free from the addiction you have to other people's approval. Do you realize most of us spend our entire life trying to gain the approval of others? And everything you do is determined by what other people think. You do it to gain their acceptance and approval. The way you dress, the way you talk, the way you do what you do that in order to gain other people's acceptance. You're addicted to approval. And you've been trying to gain approval from some very unpleasant people your entire life. And loved ones, you're not going to get it. But when you realize that God loves you unconditionally and without conditions of any kind, you realize, hey, I don't need the approval of other people because I am accepted. I am not ashamed. And that's a huge concept if you can grasp that this morning. Next, when I experience the unconditional love of God on a daily, moment-by-moment basis, I'm bold in bringing my knees before him. I'm bold in my prayers. Why? Because I'm his daughter, or I'm his son, I'm his child, I'm a member of the family. So God loves me unconditionally. So when I pray to him, I can talk to him about anything because I'm his. Romans 8 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you should not be cowering like fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. I love that. Father, dear Father. The word there in Aramaic is Abba, or Dad, or Daddy. And the Bible says you can come to God saying, Dad, Abba, Father, the most intimate of terms. You know, when my kids come and talk to me, or come and talk to Peter, they just state what they need. They don't say, oh, most gracious mother of all mothers, may I have a moment of your time? No. They say, Mom, I need. That's all they say. And the same thing is true for you and for I. You can feel bold. I can feel bold bringing my requests to God to talk to him, our dear daddy, our father. So if I'm continually aware of God's constant love, at first, I feel accepted and not ashamed. And second, I'm bold in praying my needs to my dad. And when I understand God's love and experience it, not just knowing it in my head, but knowing it in my heart, family, I have the peace in pain that I don't understand. And that's my favorite, I think, of all of the points. Because you're going to have a lot of things in life that are going to happen to you. You're going to have a lot of questions. You're going to ask God, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? Why now? Why here? God, please, why this? You're going to see things happen in this world that are unfair, ugly, and you're going to ask why. Now, let me just tell you something right up front. God does not owe you an explanation for why he allows anything, but I want to tell you this. Not everything that happens in the world is God's will. God hates evil, and there's a lot of evil done in this world. God could very easily take away evil. Be very simple. But in order to do that, he would have to take away your freedom as well. Mine too. Because you've done some evil things, and so have I. And he could easily get rid of all the suffering by taking away your choices and taking away mine and turning us into his puppets. But he wants us to voluntarily love him. So he puts up with the pain that evil causes in order to give you the freedom of choice. You're going to go through life and a lot of things you're not going to understand. Losses you don't understand, hurts you don't understand, rejection you don't understand, problems you don't understand. But here's the thing, you don't have to understand them. You just don't have to understand them to be at peace. In fact, if you did understand and somebody gave you an explanation, it wouldn't give you peace anyway. When somebody you love dies, if someone told you the explanation for it, it wouldn't make you any happier to know the explanation. You'd still have the loss. Explanations don't comfort. What you need is not an explanation. You need presence. The presence of God in your life. What you need is what the Bible calls the peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7 says this, the peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What is the peace that passes understanding? It's when you feel at peace even when you don't understand what's going on. You have no reason, no explanation, no discernment. You don't know why it's happening, but you're still at peace. And it's a supernatural peace that comes from God, the peace that passes understanding, because I don't know why this is happening, but I do know this. I do know that God is good. I do know that he loves me. I do know that he wants what's best for my life. And I do know that I can trust him even though I don't understand. That is the peace that passes understanding. And it comes from feeling the love of God in your life. God's love does not exempt you from pain or suffering. Christians will have the exact same problems that non-Christians do. The difference is that we get the peace that passes understanding, where I can trust God in a moment when everything else around me is falling apart. That's the promise of the Bible. We just looked at it last week. Remember Romans 8:28? We know that all things, even the bad things, God works for the good, for those who love him, who have been called, circle the word, called according to his purpose. Calling and purpose go together. When we live the calling and we live out our purpose, we let God love us and we love God back. And we can know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. And that gives us the peace that passes understanding. The fourth thing that happens when I know I'm totally loved by God is I gain courage to take risk. You know, when somebody believes in you, you are capable of accomplishing things you would never be able to accomplish on your own just because they believe in you. gives you additional power. It gives you additional energy. And when someone believes in you unconditionally, the way God does, and when you experience that, it releases you. Let Him give you the confidence, even when you're old. It's not too late to step out and fulfill the dreams with His strength and His power. This is what your Heavenly Father is saying to you today. I don't care if you're 15, 50, or 95. God is saying, you may have really, really messed up. You gave it your best shot, and flat out it was not good enough, and you were disappointed in your life. And your Heavenly Father comes to you today and says, it's okay. You can start over, and this time I'll help you. We'll do it together. One plus God equals a done deal. I don't care how old you are. I want to take a moment to set up this video. There was a 9-year-old little boy, and his name was Malachi Paul. And he was just a little kid who wanted to audition for Britain's Got Talent, which is the UK's counterpart to America's Got Talent. It's kind of like American Idol and all those other shows. Well, when you first start the show, you have to have an audition to get on the show. And then once you pass that audition, you get on the show, and then there's another audition and another, and you want to keep going until you win or you get eliminated. Well, this little boy was at his first audition, and the room was absolutely packed. And when he saw the crowd, he got stage fright and he choked. And his mom was standing in the wings. And I want you to watch this video to see a little glimpse of unconditional love.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
Malachi.
How old are you, Malachi?
I'm 9.
And where are you from?
London.
Okay.
North London.
Who are you with?
I'm with my mum. Yeah, and that's it.
Are you a bit nervous? All right, Malachi. Good luck.
Good luck.
When you're ready.
Very cute.
From deep within, it's only beginning to find release. Oh, the time has come for my dreams to be heard. They will not be pushed aside or turned into your own, all 'cause you won't listen. My mum.
One thing I'm worried about today is Malachi getting stage fright. He gets a bit nervous.
Yeah, sometimes I get a bit nervous and get a stage fright.
And I remember that mummy's backstage. Imagine me backstage doing, yes, Malachi, go, Malachi, yes, Malachi. Think about that in your head. In front of big audiences, I would normally be in front of him. Now he's got to face the music on his own, and that's the one thing that I'm worried about.
Not one of the judges will buzz you.
Hopefully, even if he gets it a little bit shaky in the beginning, that towards the ending of it, he'll just sail through.
If I just stop, I can just look at her and then I'll just carry on singing.
You're doing so good.
You tell me if you want to sing on it. You tell me. What would you want to do, sweetheart? You want to sing again, yeah? Who wants to sing again? Just relax and enjoy it, Malachi.
He's a brave little boy, wasn't he? And if Malachi could do it with the help of his mom backstage, how much more can we do with our Heavenly Father behind the scenes with us, cheering us on?
You can do it. You can do it.
Unconditional love turns losers into winners. You have no idea how many times your Heavenly Father wanted to reach out and grab you into his arms when you felt like you just blew it. Maybe you blew it publicly, maybe you blew it privately. You just think, wow, that wasn't good. It didn't work. But your Heavenly Father says, it's okay. We'll start over, and this time we'll do it together. For some of you, God has been waiting for this moment your entire life. He's been waiting for this moment where you are for the first time. Maybe you could get a little inkling of how much he loves you. You know, your problem is not that you don't love God. Your problem is that you don't know how much he loves you. Because if you did, you couldn't help but love him back. God chose you and decided to create you to love you. You spent your entire life afraid to surrender your total life to God. And the reason why you've been afraid to surrender your total life to God is because you don't know how much he loves you. Nobody knows what's best for you. Nobody knows what will make your life better more than God does. So I'm going to give you this moment. This is a breakthrough moment. This is the moment where you let go of fear. The Bible says there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. When love comes in the front door, fear goes out the back. You need to stop being afraid of God. You need to accept his love, and the fear will drain out of your life. So here's the question. How do you become a son of God? How do you become a daughter of God? How do I become a child of God? Well, the Bible says in John 1:12, to all who believed in him, that's Jesus, and accepted him, he's already accepted you as accepted him, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. So let's talk to God about it. This is your moment. Let's pray. I want you to pray this prayer that will transform and change the rest of your life. Dear God, Father, Abba, Daddy, I am so amazed at how much you love me. Thank you for your love for me that is wide enough to be everywhere I go. Thank you for that love for me that is long enough to last forever. Thank you for never stop loving me. Thank you that your love for me is deep enough to handle my problems. Thank you, God, that your love is high enough to overlook all my sins, all my mistakes, all my faults and failures because of Jesus. God, I want to feel accepted rather than ashamed. I want to be bold in bringing my needs to you, Father. I need the peace that passes understanding, Father. I want to have peace even in pain that I don't understand. I need your love to give me the courage to take risks, to go after my dreams. Jesus Christ, as best as I know how, in this moment, I surrender every particle and every piece of my life. I want to learn to love you back because you love me so much. I want to spend the rest of my life with that first calling of letting you love me. And I pray this in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to want you to take a connection card that's in front of you and write your name on it and write that I prayed that prayer on the back. And as you're leaving, there will be a box. There's a box in the back between the two doors. And I want you to drop that card in there. And I promise you, this week, I'm going to follow up with you and in your commitment to following Christ. So here's the last point. The fifth thing I want you to understand about God's love is that you worship instead of worry. What's worship? Worship is simply expressing my love to God. Anytime you say to God, I love you, God, that's worship. You can worship in a small group. You can worship in a church building. You can worship in a service. You can worship with the windows rolled down in your car, singing to the top of your voice. You can worship. You can express your love to God anytime. Worship is always a response. We love God because he first loved us. How do you know when you're not feeling God's love? Well, it's real simple. Worry. When you are worried, at that moment, you've forgotten how much God loves you. Worrying is acting like an atheist. Worry is pretending that you're an orphan. Worry is saying, I've forgotten I have a heavenly Father who loves me and wants the best for me and created me and is watching over me. Worry is pretending that you are on your own and you're not. Worry at that moment means, at this point, I have forgotten how much God loves me. You need to choose worship over worry. Jesus said, don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all that you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's troubles are enough for today. And this is the promise that we have right here. And this is why we're doing Live Your Calling. For the next 4 weeks, I don't want you to miss anything. It's important that you stay within the series. This message was the most important one, and I appreciate your time. I know we've run a little longer today, but you have to get this message. All the other messages hook on this premise. For the next four callings, just don't matter if you don't get this one, because they flow out of love, not out of duty, not out of guilt, not out of pressure, but they flow out of letting God love you, being loved by God. So, going to close with a couple of things. First, I want to let you know it's not too late to join a small group. I don't want you to miss the discussion. I don't want you to miss out on the fellowship. Join a small group. Write it on your card. I need a small group. I will get you a small group. The other thing I want you to know is that I still have some books in the back. If you have not purchased a book, please pick up a book. They're $10. If you don't have $10, Pastor Paula takes IOUs. Pastor Paula does not take third-party checks, though. So please don't give me a third-party post-dated check. I will not accept that, but I will accept your word and an IOU for the book. And lastly, we're going to go over the memory verse. There's a memory verse this week. And does anybody remember the memory verse from last week? Hello? Anybody remember the memory verse from last week? What was it? Thank you, Allison. And thank you. Yes, that was last week's verse. Now, at the back, the ushers have a bookmark that you can put in your book that has all the memory verses. I am going to test you. You are to memorize these verses. This is a part of the campaign. Hide the word of God in your heart so that when the time comes, you will know the right way to respond. So, the verse for today is from Romans 6:13. Romans 6:13, can we put it up on the board? It says, give yourself completely to God since you have been given new life. Now that's really, really easy now. Come on, you guys can do this. Romans 6:13, give yourself completely to God since you've been given a new life. Amen.